always good to see children and know that the church has a future. Our second lesson, our gospel lesson this Lord's Day, is in the Gospel of Matthew, and the first chapter and the 18th through the 25th verses. And I'm sure you've all heard this before, and you'll probably hear it again before the Christmas season is over. It's the story of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, as it is recorded by Matthew. And it is a little bit more matter-of-fact than the story in Luke. Now hear God's word. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace and planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus. And thus ends the reading of the gospel lesson for this day. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And in case you haven't been reminded or unaware, you've got two shopping days left till Christmas. And if you go to a place like Walmart or one of the malls, quite often they'd be playing what is sort of Christmas music. And most of the time, I don't pay much attention to it. It's just kind of a noise in the background, and I guess it's supposed to make me feel like it's the Christmas time and the Christmas spirit, and maybe buy a little bit more. And I wasn't too concerned about that kind of music until I ran across an article about a popular Christmas song. And it goes like this. "I'm dreaming through the night of a place I love more than I usually do, though I know it's a long way back. I promise you I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have the snow and mistletoe present on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me there where love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." That particular song was written in Christmas in 1944. At the height of World War II, it was the fourth Christmas of the war for the United States. Millions of young men were fighting the Battle of the Bulge in Europe, and it was not going well. The campaign in the Pacific was difficult and very bloody. The nation was war-weary. Many people, many citizens were separated and working far from home and had no opportunity to return home. And many folks never made it back, and for many, it was their last Christmas. This year, many will not be home for Christmas. Young men and young women in Africa, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, even in Texas, Syria, out at sea, away from home. Stranded college students, those confined to hospitals, jails, and nursing homes. Those who must work. Those who have no time or maybe no money to go home for Christmas. Or maybe have no home at all to go from Christmas. In our Old Testament lesson, the people of Israel couldn't get home. They were in exile. The Assyrian army had destroyed part of the country. A few years later, the Babylonians came in and destroyed the rest and forced many of the people into exile to live in a foreign country with no hope of ever returning to their home country. The temple was in ruins. The city of Jerusalem was a heap of ashes. And they no longer had control of the land that God had promised them, the land of their ancestors, the land that they called home. And only the poor and disabled were left behind. They had to pay tribute to the conqueror. Eventually, their children and their grandchildren would return, but wouldn't be the same. Wouldn't be the same. They wouldn't be welcomed by those left behind or welcomed by the new settlers. And so they questioned, how could they pray? How could they worship? No temple, no priest. And yet, the prophet assured them that God would bring them home. It's hard to imagine how they must have felt. We're currently aware of many people forced into exile, many people who will never return home, many people forced from their homes. And I'm sure if we went into our family histories, we would find that many of our ancestors were forced away from their homes, either by poverty or religious persecution, or just wanting a better opportunity. And many people in hospitals feel exiled. Many people in jail feel exiled and away from home. Guys, when I worked in the jail, the guys wanted to go back to the hood. They wanted to be with their homeboys. But the good news is God promised them, has promised, that they will go return home. He said, I will lead you home, and with your own eyes, you will see me and bless me. And Paul said, rejoice and be glad. You're going to have everything you love. A word of hope. Your punishment is over. Your time of mourning is finished. And Isaiah wrote, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Oh, we want to go home for Christmas. The airports, the roads are crowded.
And going home is a persistent theme in the season, in the movies, the music. We long to go home. It's a wonderful feeling. If you've ever been a hospital patient, when a doctor or a nurse comes by and says, "You're going to go home tomorrow." And when I worked in the jail, for some reason, the sentence ended at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the inmates were given a choice. They could leave at 2 in the morning, or they could stay until 8 and have breakfast and then leave. Nobody that I know of ever stayed for breakfast. They left at 2 in the morning. And one fellow went in the middle of a snowstorm and walked 5 miles in the snow to get home. He wasn't staying. And we travel great distances to be together as family. And yet, the old tensions come up, the quarrels arise, the problems arise at the festive table, and sometimes new disputes arise, especially now with so much turmoil going on in our government. We want to be together, but often the gathering falls short. And our hopes and our expectations, they fall short. And we wonder, was it worth the effort? Home is populated by people who are less than perfect, and some of them even irritate us. And it's not what we hope for. My hometown, where I grew up, was a lively blue-collar town in New Jersey. Now it has turned into a place of where the factory has closed, but now there's a great big office complex there, and my family couldn't afford to buy a house there, and my father probably couldn't have found work there. And the church that I grew up in, the organ is gone, and the piano is gone, and it's been replaced by guitars, and the language is now Spanish. However, I went to a reunion with some old friends, some old classmates, and I felt at home. The home we long to go for in our thoughts and our hearts is really not a place. It's not a place. It's a series of hopefully loving relationships of family, friends, community, church, a community of the people of God. That's our home church. God comes to us and makes us at home, makes us a home, no matter where we are, no matter what state we find ourselves. Home is having an open heart to the gift God gives us at Christmas, a desire to receive it, to celebrate it, rejoice in it, and to share. At times we get overwhelmed by the details of this season. But Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, born in a stable, crucified, and raised again. God in Christ has made us a home. He has made us a home, whether we are in a hospital room or in the sands of Afghanistan and Iraq, at sea, at campus, in a crowded airport, in a traffic jam, on a dark and lonely road, or sitting at a table and looking at an empty place, and even behind bars. Emmanuel, God with us, God dwelling with us. When we say we want to go home for Christmas, it's not a place we really long for. It's a relationship, a loving relationship between those who know us, love us, and between our loving and knowing God. And so no matter how far away, no matter what we have done, no matter where we come from or where we are going, a place is set, lights on, and our home is with God. He comes in as the Christ child, and he brings us Christmas. He brings home to us. We long to go home for Christmas, but we don't really want to go to a place. We long for a loving relationship with family, with friends, people important to us, and most of all, our loving God. Jesus said, "Where I am, you are." And he said, "In my Father's house are many rooms." And so, Emmanuel, God with us, Merry Christmas, welcome home. Let us continue our worship with our next hymn.